Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another fun-filled episode of the M Squared TechCast. I believe this is edition number 103 or 104.
Gosh. Two, I think.
Well, when you get to be over 100, you start forgetting things.
You're over 100, you can't remember anything anymore.
So, yes, we've been doing this for close to 2 years now, or around 2 years?
Over 2 years. September of 2015.
Okay, so.
Wow, huh?
Yeah, I guess we're gluttons for punishment. Yeah. Either that or you are, our beloved listeners.
So we're here.
But we've got a great show for you today. We have Tanya Matthews from the Michigan Science Center. We have Angela Leone from Airfoil talking about one of my favorite things, the Consumer Electronics Show, CES. We've got some folks here about healthcare technology. And then we've got Comcast here to wrap the show up to talk to us about our blistering fast internet speeds.
Blistering, right, Rob?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Well, we got to put his mic on. There we go. They're blistering. Now you can respond.
Excellent. Yep.
Okay,
definitely.
Good.
Okay. But we're going to start off with our monthly visit from Dr. Tanya Matthews from the Michigan Science Center. Good afternoon, Dr. Matthews.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
Great.
After the monsoon weekend. Yes, I was at the Michigan game on Sunday night, or it seems like Sunday night. It was Saturday night, right?
It was Sunday by the time it was over.
But very wet. But and then you guys at State, right? The State game was delayed, what, 3 hours?
Three and a half hours almost.
It was totally worth it, though.
Mm-hmm. Totally worth it. Okay. Got the sports minute out of the way now. So
exactly.
How'd Duke do, by the way? Did they win?
Are we talking football?
Yeah.
Well, they still play football at Duke, right?
Yeah, definitely a basketball school, though, more so.
Okay.
Stuff going on at the Science Center. The Veterans Day is coming right up, so why don't you talk a little bit about what the Science Center is doing for that?
Absolutely. So, of course, Veterans Day is officially on Saturday, but the Science Center is trying something different for different kinds of families. So we are going to be celebrating Veterans Day on this coming Friday, November the 10th, free admission all day on Friday, thanks to support from the Ford Motor Company. So we are really excited about that. And we've got a whole bunch of things planned, including, of course, a veterans recognition ceremony. We're going to have the color guard and all those different kinds of things. But, of course, you know, in addition to standing and protecting us, our veterans are also responsible for some of the most amazing technology and technological innovation in the world. So it is perfect that we are celebrating this during the run of 1001 Inventions, talking about all the reasons and all the different kinds of communities that have helped perhaps launch the current golden age of innovation.
All right. I'm sorry. I got the wrong list up. So go ahead, Matt. What's on next up?
Okay. Well, there's something here that I didn't know existed. It's one of those days. There's a special day virtually every day, right? But we've got another one coming up from UNESCO, World Science Day for Peace and Development, and there's some Science Center activities about that.
Absolutely. So that is also November the 10th, and you know what? It's not coincidence or ironic. It really does, I think, fit together as we think about the different kinds of roles that our veterans and all of those first responders serve. Sort of being a bulwark for peace and development is also part of it, and that, of course, is a lot of technology. One of my favorite technological challenges of the new century is actually water, not just for Flint, but for the whole world, thinking about all the different technology that we can use around that. And so, again, because we're celebrating it along with Veterans Day, we're going to have free general admission. You know, we want folks to register so we can make room for everyone. And we're going to have special presentations and hands-on activities inside of our visiting exhibit, as well as on the floor of the Science Center. And, of course, all of our theaters will be going. And so we'll be talking about different kinds of technology, particularly things related to world development and urban development, and those different kinds of engineering design challenges.
Well, one of my favorites looking like here, I'm going to move to the bottom of the list here, Foodie Night. So that caught my attention right
away.
Yes. So,
well, so listen, this is the number one reason to only stuff yourself like half a turkey on Thanksgiving, because the following Wednesday, November 29th, is Foodie Night. So every Wednesday during the run of 1001 Inventions, we have a different themed night. And it turns out that the one after Thanksgiving, Wednesday the 29th, is going to be our Foodie Night. So remember, the 1001 Inventions exhibition covers civilizations all the way from Spain to China. And that says a lot of food, a lot of tasty, tasty food. So we're going to be having guest visitors and vendors come through, and they're going to have all kinds of tastings of different cultures and different foods. And maybe in between bites, you will remember to pay attention while we teach you the different science. I have learned the science of making Turkish coffee. It is awesome, and that is why I'm talking so fast right now.
Ah, well, yes, caffeine will do that.
Yeah, I remember one of the first times I moved to Detroit, and for one of the first times I went to a Lebanese restaurant, I wanted to order Turkish coffee before the meal, and the waiter was very kind and said, "No, sir, if you drink Turkish coffee, you will not be hungry. You will not enjoy your dinner." So,
yes. Yeah, yes. And the official process takes hours, you know, to sort of
really
get it right. But it's really good, folks. It's good.
Yep.
It's really good.
Yeah, one of the spices in that is cardamom, which is something that we don't really use a lot.
Is that what that taste is? Yep. I always wondered what that was.
Yep.
Yeah, that extra taste that's in there.
Well, by then we'll all be sick of turkey leftovers, so that'll be a good thing. So.
Yeah.
That's right. And if folks need some inspiration, you know, one of the best reasons to drink some good old Turkish coffee is to try to outlast your chess partner. So even though you guys pointed out the 29th, I would say that I'm looking forward to the Wednesday the 22nd. That is chess night. And so we got some chess clubs coming, but we'll also have just chess boards set up so folks can come and practice their chess skills or show off their chess skills, maybe learn a little something. But, of course, this is one of the games that was professionalized, for lack of a better phrase, during the period that our exhibition 1001 actually celebrates.
Yeah, it says here the game was
coffee and play some chess.
Yeah, it says here the game was developed in India, and so I learned something today. I did not know that.
I did not.
Yeah, which is really interesting, right? Because we think kings, queens, rooks. We definitely have a very kind of we've only got, you know, really one queen that we all know these days. So we figure maybe she is actually the chess piece that we're looking at. But no, you are right. It was developed in India.
Yeah, when you talk about bishops and knights and things like that, you figure it must have been medieval Europe where it was developed, but that's probably just the current iteration was developed then.
Yeah, I think so. And of course, you know, for us today, it's definitely just a game, but it's all sort of related to very real conversations about the art of war, which, of course, is Sun Tzu, and that's an entirely sort of different conversation there. But, you know, folks used to practice and work with this game so they could actually do this in real life and sort of thinking about those strategies. And so today we prefer to think of it as a sort of war and a strategy for the battles in technology and perhaps some corporate kinds of things as opposed to thinking of our classic ways of using it.
And then right on the heels of Foodie Night, we have Healthy Living Night. Now, how does that square, by the way?
Listen, it's all about moderation, right? All about moderation. So Healthy Living Night, we've got several different kinds of folks coming in there. So, of course, we're going to be talking about healthy exercise. We're also going to be talking about healthy food. It's all in moderation. But we're also working with our partners over at UD Mercy, who has an incredible program to convince and introduce more folks to my field of study, biomedical engineering and the related biomedical sciences. And they've got a phenomenal program that offers offer scholarships to incoming freshmen who want to participate in one of these biosciences careers for folks who are coming from underserved and underrepresented communities. So they're also going to have a table there in case you are so impressed that you decide to do this for a living.
Which is part of your thinking here, I'm sure, right?
Absolutely. A lot of this is really getting families and kids engaged with ideas and skills that actually go with careers. I just read a really, really cool sort of study, and they are suggesting that third grade is when kids should start career planning. Actually, what they said is third grade is when they do start career planning, and the adults just need to keep up. So, got to get in there early. Start those ideas much, much younger than we usually do.
Okay, wow. So what's the schedule for these theme nights? When are they offered? I know it's after the museum's normal hours, right?
It is. So one of the things we're doing on Wednesdays, we are extending our hours until 8 p.m. So we'll be open all day, and the theme part of the afternoon kicks in around 5 o'clock. One admission price, $10 per person. That is a discount off of our regular prices, so folks can come in and take advantage of everything that we have to offer for just one price. And our members, of course, are treated. And so members, of course, can just show their membership and come on in and celebrate. So we are actually open until 8 p.m. on each one of the Wednesdays between now and the close of the exhibition.
And then what sort of crowds are you drawing for the 1001 innovations? How's that doing?
You know, it's been pretty interesting. This weekend, we had over 1,000 folks come in on Saturday, and I want to give a special shout out to our partners also at General Motors. That was the day that they also designated as their day where they really wanted folks from General Motors to come in. So I think they definitely outnumbered us 5-1, but we had a pretty big crowd this weekend. And our joint field trips with the Detroit Institute of Art, the DIA, actually sold out for the month of October. So we're really excited about that and trying to see what we can do to create some more. That was a joint field trip where the 1001 Inventions exhibition is aligned to matching galleries over at the DIA. And so students got to have both experiences and really tie both of the institutions and both sides of their brains together.
Got about 30 seconds left. Why don't you tell folks where they can dial up on the internet to find out more?
Absolutely. So check us out at www.mi-sci.org. You can see the full calendar for theme nights every Wednesday from now until the close of the exhibition, as well as our special event days such as Veterans Day that is coming up and all the amazing things that we have going on. And including, of course, STEMinista Saturdays still happens every second Saturday of every month. So if you've got a young lady in your life who is going to save the world, you should definitely be connecting her with the Michigan Science Center.
And if she's in third grade, all the better, right?
All right.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We'll start her on that doctorate real early.
There you go, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Tanya Matthews, Director of the Michigan Science Center, with more information on the Science Center. For right now, we'll be back in just a moment, but for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And we're back. We have with us, we have a little contingent, but I'm not supposed to identify the second person. She's just here observing. In case you're listening, Lisa, Angela Leon. Leon, right?
Leon.
Leon. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Pronounce it right? And she's going to be talking about one of the Airfoil's campaigns about the Consumer Electronics Show, which is Matt's favorite Las Vegas show. Right?
I still miss going to that show every year. When I was doing the IT report for WWJ, they sent me to cover the Michigan companies at CES every year. And I got to go from, I think it was like 2004 to 2012.
Wow.
Inclusive. It was 8 or 9 years in a row.
A few people at those shows, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's it vies with one in Germany that as the world's largest trade show from year to year. They got the times I was going, it was between 110,000 and 140,000 people at this show, over 10,000 journalists, just a madhouse. But boy, was it fun! And
got great swag too, right?
Well, the swag was okay. The main piece of advice I would have for anyone going, and Angela, I'm sure you'll agree with this.
Yeah,
comfortable shoes.
Oh gosh, that's the first thing: comfortable shoes and lots of granola bars.
Yeah,
for
I think that's on your list here. I'm looking at your list, but
it is. It's in there.
Is it in there?
It is in there.
All right. So let's talk about Airfoil, one of our sponsors, which I should mention here. And they have on my website an ad talking about if you're getting ready for the – I'll get in front of the mic, right? I'm leaning the wrong direction here. So if you're getting ready for Consumer Electronics Show, you're going to tell us all about what companies should do to get ready for that because, like Matt said, it's – you know, how many days of madness? Three or four, right?
The official show, there's like 2.5 days of pre-show PR, you know, press activities. And then there's usually 3 days of the official show, I think. Yeah,
and they've extended it this year, actually. Okay. So now there's 3 full days of press days, and then the show kind of takes you through the end of the week there. But, so what Airfoil does is we are a public relations marketing communications agency. So we work with our clients, many of our Michigan-based clients that you were probably covering a few years ago.
Yep.
To make sure that when they are at CES, their messages, their products, their innovations are really breaking through, which is a challenge if you consider all of the glitz and chaos of Las Vegas. Couple that with the largest technology show in the world, which now it is back up in that number one spot again.
Okay.
So we really work with those clients to help them understand how they can really break through. And so this campaign that you're referring to here is really some of our expertise in helping clients do this over the past 15 years that we've been working with our clients to do this. In addition to some of our friends on the other side, like you folks, so reporters who cover it, to really hear from them, what do they want to understand? What do they want to hear and see? What's the best way to work with them at the show?
Well, you know, and what the CES has turned into is the Detroit Auto Show, which is the full name is North American International Auto Show, but only journalists know that name. Everybody else calls it the Detroit Auto Show. It's really the preview for the Detroit Auto Show because all these auto gadgets or auto this or auto that are dominating the show these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've seen in the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years, really the automotive contingency, both the OEMs based here in Detroit as well as a lot of the aftermarket. Market and other kind of accessories divisions that are coming into that show. And really, we're starting to see them break news at CES, what was formerly known as the Consumer Electronics Show, and then leading them into the next week, which is the auto show.
Yeah, which is the next week. And
it's
then
a busy couple of weeks.
We swing into action, right?
Right. So. Well, if you look at CES, the total amount of floor space in the Las Vegas Convention Center and auxiliary venues like Sands and the individual hotels and everything else in town, it's over 3 million square feet of stuff to go see, which is like five Cobos.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say Cobos about 70.
Yeah, it's like five Cobos, and just the auto related stuff is about the same size as the Detroit Auto Show NAIAS, because you've got, you know, usually I don't know if all three of the Detroit three are going to be there this year, but then you've got the Japanese automakers and European automakers, and major suppliers like Visteon. Visteon has a huge exhibit there, all about automotive interiors and car stereo, and that's kind of the heritage of CES because it started out as a stereo show, and then they started adding car stereo stuff and it just, you know, mushroomed from there. And then when the Comdex show went out of business, the computer industry show, it sort of subsumed that into it as well. So you've got everybody there.
Yeah, and many of our clients are obviously being here in Detroit are those Detroit-based clients. So Bosch, we helped them last year with their major press conference and their big booth, which was very automotive-focused, but also included some other things like Internet of Things and smart cities, which is intended to be another big focus of the show this year as well.
Okay, yeah. What are the focuses of the show this year? What are they?
Well, you've touched
really
on the
about?
Yeah, you've touched on the first one, which is really automotive. Automotive tech has been and will continue to be a key focus for CES. CES year after year. And what we're seeing now is really a move from the stereos, like you've talked about, and kind of the powertrain and all of the automotive stuff, and really into this theme of what we're seeing and calling more mobility. Mm-hmm. So that really includes kind of the connected car, and when you're talking about equipping vehicles with a connection to be able to connect with your mobile phone, your home, your internet, even the dealership to provide them with information, and other infrastructure as well, which leads to autonomy. And we've heard a lot about autonomy is another big topic for us as well.
Yeah, we're skeptical about that. I think it's going to be a few years out further than what we're being told by the more optimistic automakers, yes?
Well, my theory is first the military, and yeah. You know, because if you want to send stuff through dangerous zones, you don't want anybody in the truck.
That's it.
And then commercial vehicles, I think, will be next.
You're already seeing that in Europe.
Yeah. You know. Well, and there's a test zone on I-69 here in Michigan between right. Port Huron and Lapeer or something like that,
Army
roughly.
Army just tested about a month ago there.
Yeah, and you'll have a truck with one driver in it and then like four more trucks behind it in a train, and all those trucks are automatically following the first truck at a really close distance, so you get that nice NASCAR drafting effect going there.
And Bob Lutz thinks that's the way cars are going to go, and so the exteriors will be irrelevant. It'll be how – it's like the train coach is how opulent can you make the train coach, you know?
Well, that'll be interesting
Bob,
to see.
What can we say about Bob? Not well, much, but moving right along. So what are some of the other tips? We got them all worked up here. They're going, gosh – we got to work with airfoil now. What else do you tell them out there if they're going to go to CES?
Well, you know, if from a media standpoint, when working with the media, and you guys correct me here if I'm wrong, but the biggest thing that we tell our clients is really to make the reporter's job as easy as possible.
Amen.
They have a big job to try and cover those 300,000. How many square feet did you just rattle off?
Oh, 3 million, close
and,
to?
Yeah, and, right. And I think it's even growing beyond that. So they have a really big job to cover that much floor space, those many booths that are there, that many news that's continuing to break. And so making it as easy for them as possible to do. That means pre-briefing with them ahead of time and giving them an advance on the news so they have an idea of what to expect, making sure that they know where your booth is, that your press materials are readily available to them, and giving them the access that they need to be able to tell their stories.
And also, I would suggest checking the schedule for the major keynotes and stuff to make sure that your announcements aren't going to conflict with any of that stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's fine to make announcements, but because there have been a couple of Michigan companies that have made some pretty major announcements there about stuff like wireless power and what's his name? The Livio radio guy.
Jake Siegel.
Jake Siegel, that's it. Sorry, Jake.
But probably not listening. So.
Yeah, well, he's probably too busy, you know, making his
next
crazy
bazillion
invention.
Dollars,
yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah, but he did some really neat announcements with Livio Radio while he was there, which was the first internet radio that was actually easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, it was, you know, so there have been some pretty neat advances by Michigan companies at this thing. But you don't want to conflict with the major stuff. My personal CES guru when I first started going there was Mike Wendland, the former tech writer at the Free Press. And
yes.
He wore a pedometer 1 year at CES. The first year I went there, in 3 days he walked 33 miles.
I believe it.
But they do have this nifty computer program for journalists now at the CES website where you can just pick the companies you want to visit and it will get you the most efficient route. So that's handy for journalists.
I
would imagine there's something equivalent to that for exhibitors, right? I mean, you know,
Something like that. But I think what most people don't take into account now is because it's so spread out, it's all over Las Vegas. It's not just the convention center. It's at the Sands. It's Aria. It's everywhere. And so, I mean, to get from point A to point B, especially if you have to go from a convention center to a hotel, you have to give yourself at least an hour and a half. There's no easy way around it. So building your schedule in advance and knowing where you need to go and giving yourself enough time to get there outside of the pedometer and comfortable shoes, you know, enlisting that that Uber or whatever else that is going to get you there is really important too.
Well, I just always used to park at the at Bally's and use the monorail to get
That's a great
everywhere.
Way, yeah. That's a secret. Nobody knows about the monorail.
Okay. Yeah. There is a Vegas monorail. It runs behind the casinos, and it's super easy to get around that way. And there are buses also. Mm-hmm. There's bus transportation for CES, but that can be a nightmare after a major event. So
yes, it can.
Yeah. You don't want to take the bus. You might as well walk.
So, Angela, let's talk a little bit about your insider tips for scoring media coverage. Just dig into that a little bit more here. So, besides... what else do you need to do besides be
Yeah, what
treat the press very nice.
Yeah, it says here you asked a group of writers and media people with 45 years of experience at CES what their tips were. So what did they say?
So number one was make their job easier, which we have kind of already talked about here. Right. So that's number one, and that's kind of the genesis of a lot of these different tips. The other big thing is to your point, the timing. Know what's happening and when. One of the things that we always tell people is, you know, they want to get a lot of FaceTime because they're with the reporters in Las Vegas in the same time, the same space. It's a great idea, but in reality, it never really works out that well. So you really need to be judicious about when you're scheduling things outside of your booth, outside of the show floor hours, for example. A lot of people want to host dinners or parties. There are so many conflicting activities going on. So really, it's about, you know, picking and maximizing your investment. One of the great events that we always recommend is CES Unveiled, which is hosted by the CTA, the Consumer Technology Association, which is the producers of the CES show. And it happens during press days, typically the day before the big show floor opens. And it's when a lot of the exhibitors will come and showcase and launch their new products, make their big announcements from that very first side. So that's really the first time that a lot of journalists are getting a hands-on experience, even if they've gotten it in advance. This is the first time that they're getting that hands-on experience with the products. And we see a lot of the big news coming out of that very first day of the show. It also tends to set a lot of the trends as well. So there's always that breakout weird product that nobody saw coming. You know, I remember my very first year at the show at CES, it was the AR drone.
The AR drone.
And nobody saw that one coming. It came out of left field. And you know, that was a career highlight for me just to be a part of that. But that started at that CES Unveiled event, and it kind of set the tone for the rest of the week. So you start strong, and the coverage will follow.
Got about 2 minutes left.
All right. So tell me a little bit about your background. How did you happen to get into working with tech companies in this way?
Sure. Well, I started my PR career at Airfoil. Before that, I was working at some advertising agencies. But really, you know, at Airfoil, my background has been working across a number of different technology companies. So everywhere from consumer drones, like I just talked about, healthcare, and automotive tech companies. And so really working with them to develop their messaging, developing their strategy, bugging friendly reporters like you to cover our clients all of the time, and developing those relationships is really key.
All right. So this insider tips for scoring media coverage, I assume that's available online somewhere?
Yes, it is.
Well, why don't we tell people where that is?
If you go to airfoilgroup.com, you'll find a downloadable PDF with all of our 10 insider tips for CES, as well as a handy little contact us form. So if you want to learn more or engage with us, bounce some ideas off of us, get some help and some planning as you're preparing for 2018 CES. That's a great place to go.
All right, Angela, you may know this, you may not. I just had one final question. How much does it cost to exhibit at CES if your company is thinking about this?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, that's going to be big bucks, right?
Yeah.
It depends. And that's why we really recommend, you know, making sure you're maximizing your investment, because it does get expensive.
Yeah, I know. They have a smaller sort of startup area where you just get this little table.
And startup alley.
I guess you can get one of those for a few thousand dollars, but the booths are like really pricey. So
they are really pricey just to get in, and then it's a competition of keeping up with the Joneses once you get in there, just to outfit it and build it out to be able to compete.
Well, then not to mention airfare and hotels and food. And
boy, do they jack up the hotel rates for that week.
Sure.
I can tell you that. I remember turning in some of those expense reports.
Yes.
That's what, you know, what reporters say about expense reports. It's our only chance we get to write fiction. But anyway.
All right. You got to take us out, man.
All right. Well, Angela Leon from Airfoil. Once again, that's airfoilgroup.com. And look for the insider tips for scoring media coverage at CES. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
We'll be back.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. We have now some folks here from Great Lakes Health Connect. And if you've never heard of Great Lakes Health Connect, well, you're going to learn about them today. Mike?
I'm not sure this was one we played on the fly, so I'm not totally sure who's on the line. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Carrie Strum, Implementation Specialist for Great Lakes Health Connect in the West Michigan area. And I'm actually the only one on the call from Great Lakes Health Connect. We have another guest as well. I'll let her introduce herself.
I'm Jennifer Van Wengarden, and I work at Interact of Michigan. We're a mental health organization, and we have used Great Lakes Health Connect to do care coordination between our office and primary health care providers.
Okay. We published a story talking about a study. I think that was your study, right, Jennifer, that you did?
Nope. Lara is the person that did her dissertation, and I am the implementer of her study.
Oh, okay, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about that study. I know, but we probably should back up and explain what Great Lakes Health Connect is first, because a lot of people may not be aware of it. I mean, I'm not as up to speed on it as I probably should be. So one of you take that and explain what you guys do.
Sure, I'll take that one. Great Lakes Health Connect is a health information exchange, and we are statewide. We actually have been in existence for 6 years, and we provide all sorts of technological solutions for our healthcare providers, but beyond that, we've also helped them put some different workflows in place that are not just tech that's been put in place, but some solutions to help them come up with ways to work better with each other. And we've got several different options for that we can help both hospitals and ambulatory care providers and other types of organizations to use to connect better with each other to care for patients.
Okay. And so this study that was a PhD dissertation for one of the folks that's not with us today, but I think that Jennifer can talk about integrated care, applying an interdisciplinary team approach to healthcare delivery. Go into a little bit more detail. I mean, a lot of people don't even understand what I said. So put that in layman's terms so they can better understand it.
Sure. For a number of years, people have, it's been a priority to do care coordination between behavioral health and medical health facilities, and that's been done in a variety of different ways. Lara's project was to use a reverse share care model, and to do that using the Great Lakes Health Connect as our tool, electronic tool, to be able to implement that model. So essentially, in the past, behavioral health care homes or teams like mine, our clients would come in, they would see our doctor, and we would send our records to the primary health care provider, and we would then say, hey, can you send us your records too? And then within 30 days or so, they would send their records over, and we would have them for our next med review. It was a pretty cumbersome way of doing it. We'd have to wait for faxes and a lot of back and forth and uploading and just a lot of time between. Well, Lara's model suggested that we ask for the records ahead of time. I said, are you kidding me? Like, our clients cancel all the time. We have 30% no-show rate, and you want us to spend up time up front asking for records? Well, she pitched using the Great Lakes Health Connect tool, which we can just log on to and send. Basically, we send the tool, it's called a referral, but we actually just send a little message over to the primary care provider, and we say, hey, here's a release of information. Can you send us your records? And they upload it onto the site, and they do this within a couple of days, and we can review those records and upload them directly into our site and have those records right for our provider before the client comes in for the med review. So we are now able, using the Great Lakes Health Connect tool, we have this really quick and efficient electronic way of having records for our doctors about a client before they come in. For example, here in Kent County, the largest federally qualified health facility is Cherry Health Services, and that's who we piloted this with. And our very first client we did this with, we found out that the medical provider was also prescribing the client Haldol, which was a medication we were also prescribing the client. So the client was getting like a double dose of Haldol. So that kind of speaks to how urgent and important it is for us to have this information in our hands before we see our client.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else did you learn from this PhD thesis?
Well, I guess besides for it being a more effective way of communicating and to have the information up in front, it gives us better tools to manage our clients. I think that's about it.
Okay.
We are still in the pilot stages, so it's really quite difficult to engage primary health care providers to switch their processes and be willing to change everything they're doing and do this with us. So far, we only have two sites in the community that have been willing to engage us on this. So far, both places are really happy with the results, but that's one of the things that we've learned is there's just a barrier in terms of getting people involved.
Okay.
So if I may add to that, one thing that we learned through the process of having this more creative approach to using this tool of ours is that we've got lots of opportunity to get creative with something that has been, it's called a referral application, as Jen said, but it's really a communication mechanism. And the ways in which it's used right now are largely traditional referral from primary care to specialty care or a specialty care provider to another specialty care provider. And this is a new way of looking at using that tool to communicate about a different need other than I'm referring a new patient to you. We already share this patient in this case, but let's use this secure means of messaging one another to work together to share this care. And we have almost 1,400 locations in the state of Michigan using this referral platform. But as Jen said, only two using it in this unique way. So there's a lot of opportunity for folks who already know Great Lakes Health Connect, already know this piece of technology, to put it to use in a different way. So we're kind of excited about the opportunity that presents for us.
Is it more of an educational process now? At 1,400, you got two. That's kind of a low batting average there. So, I mean, is it that they are resistant? They don't know about it? They what?
Well, they're already using it. The others are already using it. But as I said, they're only using it for a particular type of workflow, which is I've got a patient that needs a different provider to help with their care, so I'm going to send you this new patient to your practice, and I'm going to refer them through this application. That is already in play with all these other sites, but getting creative and saying, well, we already share care of this patient with another entity we haven't thought of before, a behavioral health provider that we don't normally think of in this way. Could we use this technology as a way to communicate with each other, send information back and forth, and skip doing all the faxing we've done in the past with those partners in the patient's care?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it's a way of using the tool that they haven't yet thought of. So they are using it, but they're using it differently. And they're also not thinking of the behavioral health world in this way, and so that's a new territory for us as well, getting more of those behavioral health providers aware of who we are and working in this space with all the physician practices.
All right, Carrie, why don't you tell us a little bit about Great Lakes Health Connect? What is a health information exchange? How did this one come to be, and what role you play in the healthcare system?
How we came to be was based out of local health systems in the West Michigan area needing a way to securely share information. So that was back in 2010 or 11 that those conversations started happening with a few main hospital partners in the Grand Rapids area and a few over on the other side of the state as well, recognizing the need to share information and not wanting to have to build interfaces with every other hospital. They wanted a neutral party in the middle to be able to have that functionality for all of them to benefit from. So they became member organizations of, at that time, what was Michigan Health Connect. And at the beginning, it was interfaces of lab radiology, transcribed reports from hospital systems into Michigan Health Connect, and then sent out through us through interfaces to practices or into an inbox where we could give those results to local providers that wanted to receive those electronically. Then we also added to that this referral application that was an electronic means of referring patients. That really started in the West Michigan area and the Grand Rapids area specifically, and has grown over the last 5-6 years to include, as I said, almost 1,400 locations using that. We also do have a community health record that's a repository of information on over 8.5 million patients worth of data in there. And that's contributed to by 99 sources, I believe, across the state of Michigan. In 2014, we did change names to Great Lakes Health Connect because we had a merger with Great Lakes Health Information Network. Great Lakes, H-I-E, GLE was what they were known as, and they were based in Lansing. And so there was a merger, and the company became Great Lakes Health Connect at that point.
Now, I'm sorry, you were going to leave it there, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, we've got about a minute left, by the way. And so this basically is an expansion of the of the health information of this referral exchange from stuff like, you know, regular specialty doctors into behavioral health, like psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
So that's what's going on here. You haven't really been involved in that part of medicine to this extent up to this point.
Yeah, not too much. It's expanding more all the time. We've got a lot of county health departments, that have begun talking to us as well now, especially with the mental health code change earlier this year. More information can now be shared. So we're talking to more and more behavioral health providers about how we can work with them.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. It's what's the website, Carrie, for GLHC?
We are gl-hc.org.
Okay. Thanks very much, Carrie Strom, implementation consultant from Great Lakes Health Exchange. Jennifer Van Weingarten, she's a social worker, operations manager at Interactive Michigan. And as they said, there's more information about this interesting piece of technology at gl-hc.com. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Roush.
And we're back for the fourth and most exciting segment, right, Rob Ponto from Comcast?
So.
No, actually.
Lots of pressure.
Well, exciting in the sense that he's going to tell you how he's going to give you a whole lot more internet for no more money,
yeah,
right? No more,
speed,
money, right?
More speed.
Wow,
feel
that's
the need
exciting.
For speed.
I like that. Usually I don't hear that from Comcast. It's more money, you know?
Well,
so.
You know, it's all about value, Mike.
It is, absolutely.
Okay, so, yeah, Xfinity Internet customers might notice that their internet speeds are a little bit faster this month. So we want to give our customers the best value. Obviously, we want to make sure that their online experience is the best as possible. So, you know, everyone wants more speed. We've got the Internet of Things, things to power through the internet, like smartphones, tablets, refrigerators.
Got everything. Yeah.
I mean, how many devices do you have on?
Robot dogs,
right?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, the rope. We got that little vacuum cleaner running around the house, you know, chasing the cat and everything.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
especially with the holidays coming up.
Yeah.
How many smartphones will be in your home? How many tablets and gifts like that, little gadgets. So,
oh, amazing, yeah.
You got to power them all through Wi-Fi. So on Thursday, we announced that we are increasing speeds are some of our most popular internet tiers over the next several weeks. It's about 80% of our customer base.
That's about a million people.
Just about, yeah, just about. So
yeah, I read the press release.
Well, good, thank you. So here's what's going to happen. Download speeds of our Xfinity Blast internet tier will jump from 75 meg to 100 meg. If you're a performance tier customer, that internet speed will jump from 25 to 60. And customers of performance starter will boost from 10 meg to 25 megabytes. So all these rollouts, as I said, start now through mid-December. So if you have
just it, in time for Christmas,
yes,
like you say. Yeah.
Yes.
So when all those little kiddies get their Wi-Fi connected devices for Christmas time, we're going to be good.
You're going to be good. You won't have to worry about your internet. You might have to worry about batteries, but not
batteries
not your internet
not
speed.
Included. Yeah,
correct.
By the rechargeables.
And how much more is this going to cost everyone, Rob? Go ahead. Here you go. Hit it.
So customers will enjoy these new speeds at their current price.
Whoa! That's like I said. I love that kind of talk.
Oh yeah, so. Absolutely.
Yeah. The cool thing is this is the 17th year or 17th time we've increased speeds in 16 years. So
wow,
it's all about value.
Yeah. I was going to ask. Do you happen to remember what the fastest speed available was back then, 17 years ago?
Oh, my goodness.
Low those many years
it
ago,
would be
like
a
2000.
Yeah. Sound right. First. That would, you would hear that first.
Bing bong, bing bong. Yeah,
and then
right.
You'd like read a book while you're waiting for your picture to download.
Yeah.
No, those were the days.
Who remembers? Get off the phone. I need to use the internet. Right.
Right. No kidding.
It's amazing how far we've come since 94 when this thing, you know, Mark.
My first modem was 28.8.
Yeah. Mark Van. Was it Andreessen? I always get his name wrong.
But yeah.
Out of Illinois, Champaign.
Yep.
Came up with a graphical interface. That's really the birth of what we know today as the internet.
Yep.
So, 94. That's hard to believe. But were you born in 94?
Okay. Far before that.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure. She looks so young, you know.
Thank
so,
you. Thank
oh, you're
you.
Welcome.
Well,
so.
The bio says she had more than 10 years' experience.
Oh, that's so. True, yeah. I mean, well, but Lisa
child
gets
labor laws,
in about,
you know.
Lisa gets them in third grade because that's when they start to learn and develop that career.
We're like mishmashing all our segments together here. Sorry, Rob.
That's okay.
It's all a jumble in my head, you know.
Okay. So what else is going on at Comcast? What's the video business been like for you?
It's been pretty good. It's been pretty good. We just launched a new tier called Instant TV. So if you're one of those people who is not into TV that much anymore, maybe you have an internet package and you want to get video streamed through any device that you might own,
uh-huh.
You can do that now for $18.
Hmm. Okay.
Additional $18 or?
Well, whatever you're paying for your internet, you would pay $18 for Instant TV, and you would get, I think it's 10 channels that are streaming live, so all your local channels.
Fox Sports Detroit?
There is a sports and entertainment package that's, I think, $30 on top of that. So
$18.
Yes, the base $18, then you can pick and choose. I think the news and entertainment is $30 on top of that. So it's still a great price.
Everyone's nodding their heads. Is that good or bad?
Yeah, that's good. That's
okay,
a good price.
I'm looking around the room here.
Because
you
can pay, I mean, you can easily pay, if you want to get every channel,
channel.
A little over $100 a month for cable television.
Absolutely, right?
So
we're looking at all customer bases and all price points.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, there are more people cutting the cord, let's be honest here. But there's ways for you guys to adopt a strategy to get around that and become one of the people that lets them cut the cord almost.
Well, Instant TV is one of those ways that we're trying to keep connected with those customers, and also our X-Worm platform is keeping the largest screen in your home the most important.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the nature of technology. If somebody's going to blow up your business, it might as well be you. You know, I mean, that way you're still there when it's standing there when it's over, right?
Right.
I
mean,
Welcome to the world of entrepreneurship. It's so exciting.
Yeah. Yes. Welcome to the world of tech too.
Yes.
Yeah. I come from the newspaper industry, so R.I.P. There.
Yes. Kind of. Yes. That died.
Well, that was Craigslist. Craigslist killed newspapers because the classified ads was the most profitable space in the paper.
Right.
Inch for inch, it was the most expensive to buy, and you didn't need a whole lot of high-powered people to produce it. You just basically needed people with high school diplomas who could spell to take the classified ads. Craigslist made classified ads free. You know, there goes newspapers. You know, I mean, that's kind of what happened. So, but we digress.
We do, yes. We lament there. those days are behind us.
Unfortunate passing.
We are, yes. When I was talking to you on Thursday, I don't know if you know more since then, but I was asking, where's the rollout first, or how? I mean, are you going to go after the high tech areas like Royal Oak and Ann Arbor first, or?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, Mike, because as you mentioned, there's a million customers that are going to be. I failed to mention, if you'll get an email or a letter or both from Comcast saying that you're getting this speed increase, and when you do that, what you want to do is power cycle your gateway or your modem.
So just unplug it.
Just unplug it, plug it back in, or reset it.
Wait 10 seconds, though, right?
That's probably a good practice,
Count to 10, plug it back in, hope it works, right?
Right.
The lightning storm knocked my Xfinity out there for about 5 minutes on Saturday, so.
Okay. It's back up?
Yeah.
Okay,
I had to unplug
good.
It and do the whole thing and reset. And
I'm sure I would have heard from you if it wasn't.
No, normally I go over to your head to Michelle and say, what's going on here? So Michelle's the vice president. So.
Correct.
Here I go back to the Verizon days when she was working for. Can I say that? I guess I already did, right?
That. All right. So speaking of the competition, we won't say who, but it rhymes with Baby and B. Got into the television business, right? So
right.
Now you're in the phone business. Funny thing. Talk about that a little bit.
So we have a landline service. It's about $15 per month. But the exciting news is we're in the mobile phone business now.
Yeah,
so Xfinity Mobile. If you're into Apple, Samsung, or LG phones, you come into one of our Xfinity stores, and we can give you a great price. Most people use their phones for the internet, not really for calling or texting. So, calling and texting is free. You can get two different packages for your internet service. $12 per gig that you use, or $45 for unlimited for the month.
Yeah, Michelle was pitching me on that because I'm with that company she used to work for. And I go, well, I think I still got a few more payments left on my phone. Once I do that, then I'll take a look at it.
So. Great. And we just opened an Xfinity store in your neighborhood, Mike.
Did you?
In Ann Arbor, yep.
Okay.
So it opened today in Oak Valley.
Yes.
Oak Valley.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice segue.
News has broken out.
No, actually, I published it on Friday. So you gave it to me earlier.
Once,
I said, I'm not sitting on this. This is too hot.
News breaks here, it stays broken.
Yeah.
This new Xfinity store, it's kind of like an Apple store. When you walk in, it's very attractive. You can touch and feel the products. You can talk to someone face-to-face, or you can go to a kiosk and do whatever kind of business you need to do with us there. It's 4,000 square feet, and it's open 7 days a week. So
that's your typical phone store is about 4,000 square feet, right, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Just eyeballing it, yeah.
Your Comcast store downtown is about 4,000 square feet, isn't it?
A little smaller because of Midtown space is typically smaller, but we get a lot of traffic there too.
Yeah. Where else do you have the Xfinity stores?
I think we have at least 10, and they're all over the Metro Detroit area.
Okay.
And we have one in Grand Rapids and one in Ann Arbor, and we'll make some news on some new stores next year.
Lansing, Kalamazoo, I imagine you're going to get into them. And
yeah, I think we're planning Lansing for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the Comcast footprint, the Xfinity footprint in Michigan? Where do you provide, where do you have coax going in?
So everything from Indiana and Ohio north, but below the thumb. except for bad acts.
I love Michigan people. We always talk with our hands. I live.
That's good radio, folks. He's holding his hand up.
That's very visual. You can see that, right? Sure. You know, you can relate to that. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, so but you do have bad acts, but it's pretty much the southern, you know,
like, major markets, Detroit, Lansing, Grand Rapids.
Okay. How about Kalamazoo?
A few spaces in there. That's more charter territory.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah, because I know Northern Michigan is them too. So I was just wondering how far up Comcast went. So, or Xfinity, I guess we have to call it now.
Right.
Nope. Yeah. Is that official? We don't call it Comcast anymore?
Think of it this way. The company is Comcast. Think of it like Ford.
Yeah, yeah. Ford. No, it's Ford's around here.
So. Think of it as Ford's.
I work at Ford's.
Then you have Mercury, or you had Mercury. Lincoln.
Yeah.
So Xfinity is the product.
Got it.
Portion of the business. You have Xfinity Internet, video, home security, things like that.
Yeah, I'm seeing more and more of those. I did some volunteer work for a friend of mine who's running for Dearborn City Council this year.
Oh, okay.
There was one day where I hung.
No political plugs, though. Okay.
No. Right. Doorknob tag, just get out and vote tomorrow, folks.
Yeah,
that's
it. Doesn't matter who you vote for, just do it.
Just
right?
do it. Yep. So I hung doorknob tags on 600 houses on a Saturday afternoon.
Activist, you.
And every single one of those houses had 3 front porch steps. So we realized later we walked up 1,800 stairs that day. That's like climbing up the Rensen twice.
To go to the gym or anything,
no,
right?
Yeah, we had plenty of steps in, believe me.
Okay.
But I noticed more and more Xfinity home signs in front of houses where it used to be, you know, ADT or Guardian. You're getting pretty good penetration with that product,
I think. Big trend. People like to know what's going on at home while they're not there, and they like to control things in their homes while they're not there. So Xfinity Home is a great way to do that. And we're integrating our product into all the Nest and all those other things that are out there on the market.
So that I see commercials on TV. I don't know if it's your product or not. Somebody's looking on their smartphone. Somebody's coming up to their front door. Is that you guys or is that somebody
else? We can do that.
I'm losing track at all, you know. So, but I mean, yeah, this is all good stuff, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, trying to keep everyone connected all the time. It's hard to do. But with 86,000 Wi-Fi hotspots across the state, it's getting easier to do.
Yeah, well, we could talk about that too. Well, we got about, 3 minutes to kill here? So
3 minutes.
What else is going on with Xfinity? See,
Xfinity,
I got it right this time.
Well, I just mentioned the Wi-Fi hotspots are free if you're an Xfinity customer.
Yeah.
We also, you know, talking value for free, launched XFi, which is a in-home Wi-Fi management system. So what you can do with that is you can see how much Wi-Fi you're using.
Uh-huh.
You can set up profiles for your family. I have a wife and 2 daughters, so I can pretty
lots
much
of usage there, huh?
control when and what they use while.
And you can block them out for dinner time so they can't use their devices at the table?
Yeah, we call that the digital dinner bell.
Yeah.
So when it's dinner time, I can pause, or my wife can
pause,
too.
Then they know they've got to come to the table because their device isn't working anymore, right?
So actually look at each other.
What else have they got to do? So, you know, if your device isn't working, I guess it's time to go
time
interact
to go
with your
look
family.
At the folks, right? Okay.
And there's a bedtime mode. So when my daughter goes to sleep at 9 o'clock, we shut it down until 6:30 in the morning.
I like
so,
it. No more under the covers, like when I was a kid, when the Tigers were on West Coast road trips, I'd have my AM radio under the covers listening, right?
Yeah.
That's the old days. I guess that kind of dates me, too.
How many transistors was that radio?
Anyway. I don't know.
All right. So, that's an interesting concept to me, just because the amount of control, the amount of granularity in these systems is really increasing, right? I mean, it used to be you just, you know, it was broadcast into you and you just sort of took it and took from it what you needed. And if you didn't use everything, I mean, you really can make it much more a la carte now than it used to be.
Yeah, with your internet service, you really have ways to select what you need, what you want. Just really think of what you want to do and how you want to use it, and you can do that.
And now you get YouTube TV. Do you guys view those as a serious competitor yet?
Well, no. You know, we're trying to bring, you know, we've partnered with YouTube, and we brought them into our X1 platform. So now you can access YouTube through our X1 box under the big screen. And my daughters have been using that. They love Rosanna Pansino. She's a baker on
couldn't
YouTube.
Tell, yeah. You know,
and hours and hours of, not a lot of baking going on, but a lot of watching Rosanna. So.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
Or something. Yeah, it's like I don't take Rolling Stone anymore, so I don't know these bands, right? So people are talking about these bands, and I go, who? You know, so, hi, Grandpa. You know, so.
So, yep. U2 is now integrated into X1.
Ah, okay. How are we doing? You know, we're going to do the, we didn't do the, we got to do this Jessica Cam thing, though. Really?
Yeah, let me know ahead of time, though, so I actually put makeup on.
Okay. So how, we got about half a minute left, or? Minute?
Sure.
All right. So, so okay. If people want more information about these products, Rob, where do they go?
So you can go to us at Twitter at Comcast Michigan, or you can go to us online at Xfinity.com or give us a buzz at 1-800-XFINITY.
Okay.
Okay. And then your boss is going to be on IT and the D tonight.
She is. And she'll be talking more of the same.
So more of the same. And so the Podcast Detroit channel, you know, we're an affiliate of Xfinity now. So.
All right. Thanks a lot to Rob Ponto from Comcast.
Thanks
for being a good sport. I want to thank all of our guests today. If I could find the list
find
of them
the
anyway.
List here now.
Tanya Matthews is director of the Michigan Science Center. We had Angela Leon from Airfoil talking about one of my favorite things, the International CES. And we had Carrie Strom from the Great Lakes Health Connect, and we learned a lot about how healthcare providers are sort of sharing data these days because that's really, really tough stuff because of all the privacy requirements and federal laws.
And all that jazz.
Yeah, you really want to be careful with that info. And then we wrap things up with Rob Ponto from Xfinity and learned a lot about their system. So great show. Thanks, Mike.
We do our best.
All right. We'll be on next week. We're going to have somebody in.
We're not sure. It's like we're juggling the show. Well, we don't want to have four on.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at Lawrence
we'll
Tech is going to be here. So. She's going to be talking about this grant we got from the Howard Hughes Medical Institute to increase diversity in STEM and STEAM education. So that's a pretty exciting program.
Wow. Does that tie in with the Marburger STEM Center?
No, not Marlboro.
Marlboro STEM Center.
Stems and seeds. Yeah, right. All right. Well, before we get in any worse trouble, I'm going to close the show out. So this is Matt Rausch.
Yes, and Mike Brennan.
You're listening to the M2 TechCast. Why are we so goofy today?
I don't know.
Thanks for listening to M2 TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com. Thank you.